Today's first readings, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
That's important for today's sermon, that you realize that that reading was from Matthew chapter 28, and this reading comes from the same gospel. Here's what Matthew has to say in chapter 25. Jesus said this to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in prayer? Come, Holy Spirit, help us to understand these words as they are read and proclaimed. And help us to understand the shape that our lives must take as we seek to follow your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this in his holy name. Amen. So we've been working our way through some sermons that are inspired by questions that you all turned in the last few weeks. And this one's kind of a mix-up of several questions that came in, so none of them exactly said this, but they were kind of all lumped together. It made sense to me to say the big question is, what's more important to Christians, missions or evangelism? Right? And there's two big churchy words, so let's break those down very first of all. All right, missions and evangelism. Even to get a little nerdier for you, right? One is based on a Greek word, euangelion, which means the good news. And the other one comes from a Latin phrase, missio Dei, which means sent by God. So which is more important, evangelism or missions? Now the trend today, and I'm not saying up front that I agree with the trend, but the trend is definitely more toward mission, and I would say in the church at large, away from evangelism. In fact, that's a pretty loaded word in today's world, evangelism. It's gotten a bad rap. mostly. I think particularly because in America, the word evangelism has been wrapped up in politics. You hear a lot about evangelicals as a voting bloc, right? Which, to be fair, really isn't fair. The voting booth has nothing to do with the kind of biblical good news that lies at the heart of the word evangelism. The good news that God loves you, the good news that Jesus forgives your sins. But it's not just the news media that has corrupted that word. Maybe another reason we're hesitant to talk about evangelism is that some Christians have been doing it wrong. Sometimes exploitatively, sometimes there's evangelism based on fear, and sometimes there's just some hokey tactics that people have been using. I found a clip this week of a millennial who is describing what he thinks of when he hears the word evangelism. So if you really like the word evangelism and you don't understand why the kids today don't get it, then listen closely for what you might learn from this clip. Let's take a look.
Daniel, what do you think evangelism is? All right, you asked.
Oh, well, here we go.
What? You need to sit down?
Have a seat.
Repent, all you sinners!
Sinners?
Have you heard from the word of God today? Have you, Miss Beasley?
Okay.
What is the matter with you?
All right, let him finish. Okay, how about this? Now, all you viewers at home, I want you to just take your hand and place it on top of your television set. Right now, go ahead and do it right now. Feel the power of Jesus coming through you. Feel him trickling through you as you make your checks out to Daniel Sanchez, courtesy of SanchezMinistries.org.
Daniel,
you know Jesus doesn't trickle.
Hold up, that I asked not... him to share, remember?
Okay, all right.
He's got more.
How about this?
Is he leaving?
I don't think so.
He's gone. Is he coming back? Is it over? Is it over?
Ding dong.
There is no telling. Oh, goodness.
Hello, ma'am.
Nope.
Hello, sir.
That's the one.
How are you? Do you have a few hours this fine afternoon for me to debate with you how my knowledge of the Bible is vastly superior to your knowledge of the Bible, or how my church is better than your church, or how my religion can unravel the vast mysteries of the universe?
Sure.
They are vast. Yep. And did I also mention that this decoder ring comes free with the purchase of this Bible, which is made of authentic goat skin? Feel the goat skin, Chuck.
I don't know.
Feel the goat skin. Feel the goat skin.
You
feel
have the moved skin. Into the realm of the absurd.
Okay.
Yes, you have.
All right. Well, absurd? Well, that's what I think about when I think of evangelism.
Do some of you identify with that even a little bit? Is that what you think of when you think of evangelism? Right? Because none of those three tactics is really going to win any hearts or minds for Jesus. And certainly not in a generation that thinks of evangelism in this way. So how about a different way to view it? Now, do you know where I got these words, right? They're on the front of our bulletin every week, right? That's our mission statement as a church, building relationships to share Jesus. We build relationships so that we earn the right to speak. And that comes when you show up. You put in the time to build relationships. It's pretty clear from that clip, right? Nobody cares if you just show up to tell them about your faith. If all you do is show up to preach at them, to get up on your soapbox. So if evangelism is so tainted, do you think maybe we should just throw it away and focus only on missions? There's kind of a temptation to do that sometimes, right? But I told you to pay attention that both readings this morning were from Matthew's gospel. So Matthew holds up both evangelism and missions. So the heart of this question becomes not one or the other, but what do you think is the right balance? Like, how should we as Christians allocate our resources? Here's a hypothetical for you. What if we have a village in some impoverished country across the globe? Which do you think we should send? Should we send a box of Bibles to that village? Or should we send a box of malaria drugs to that village? Which would you pick? Now, important to that question might be a follow-up question. Which of the two are the people in that village asking for, right? That might direct your answer. I mean, too many times we just send whatever we think somebody needs. I was reading an article this week that used clothing has almost zero value overseas now. And that is a big change, right? Used clothing that you donated in a bin even a decade ago had a lot of value. It would be sorted out and sold in bunches overseas, and some would be chopped up and made into rags if it wasn't quite nice enough to continue as clothing. But worldwide, there is a glut of our extra clothes from the first world. It happened for two reasons, because looms have become robotic, so they can produce clothes much more cheaply and quickly all around the world. And secondly, there's been a trend toward what you call fast fashion, which means that we're turning over the clothes in our closets faster and faster. So what does this mean for us? Should we, as Christians, be focusing on local things, the people right in front of us? Or should we be thinking about people overseas? Now, some of you might make the argument that charity begins at home, right? You'd say, let's stay local with our dollars and our efforts. Well, charity begins at home is a nice sentiment, but it's not from the Bible, just to be clear. But others of you might make an argument from the other side and say, if you look overseas to some of the poorest places around our globe, the need is far, far greater. The basic level of poverty in some parts of the developing world makes their needs far more desperate. So which one is the right answer? Should we be focused locally, or should we be focused globally? Sounds like a trick question, right? Well, it is. If you look in Acts when Jesus commissions the disciples and sends them out, here's what he says to them. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's a trick question because Jesus sends them to their own town, to their state, and to the entire world. So if you are asking, should we focus locally or globally, we're actually asking the wrong question. I think there's a much better one you can ask, though. And that is this. Where does your heart lie? Where do you feel like God is calling you? And if you're not quite sure of the answer to that question, I'm going to suggest that you might pray a very dangerous prayer. And I mean that because this is a dangerous prayer. I have seen people who have prayed this prayer, and it has the potential to turn your life upside down, and I'm not joking about that one little bit. Here's the prayer I would suggest. Pray, Lord, show me the needs of the people around me clearly, and help me understand how you would like me to respond. Pretty simple prayer, right? But I have seen that change people's lives. When you start to see the needs of the people in the world around you and ask how you might respond, it changes a lot of things. You might start to notice the kids at Chambers Hill Elementary School, right, which has been listed as a Title I school now for the level of poverty that is present in the children there. When you ask questions about the needs at that school, then you start to provide coats when you find kids who are cold. You can go over and help them learn to read with our reading helpers. Some of you are going over to teach the anxious ones how to knit and crochet. Bless you if you can do that. Some of you are going over because kids were hungry, and you make sure they have enough to eat on the weekends through the NutriPrac program. Others of you have prayed this prayer, and you started to notice that there are hungry, lonely people downtown. And so every fourth Sunday, you get up way too early and go down to Grace to serve breakfast. Others of you have noticed that there are lonely people in the nursing home. So you show up and play bingo with them, or have a hymn sing, or make a visit to one of our shut-ins and take communion to them. Many of you in this church have noticed the struggles of the addicted in our community and have gotten involved with the board at Daystar, leading to not only healing from the physical addiction to drugs, but also the spiritual healing that these men need as they repair their relationship with God and their relationship to others around them. If you see those needs clearly and begin to respond, you'll be blessed when you do. Some of you will see the needs really close to home, right here in our community, and find a way to respond. But here's the dangerous part. Sometimes you pray that prayer, and God will call you even farther away. I think of Mary Klaus, a member of the Chambers Hill community who travels all over the world every time she has a break from her job. She carries with her the eyeglasses that we sort and clean here at the church, and she takes the colorful clothes that are knitted by our sewing group to deliver all over the world. These are two boys in Nicaragua who got their clothes last year. This was a nostalgic photo for me, but you won't recognize these people, but I am in this photo from about 10 years ago now. And also in the picture with me are Sarah Reed and Eric Yetter, a married couple from Binghamton, New York. When Eric finished his graduate degree, Sarah quit her job, and they left for a year as short-term missionaries at Henderson Settlement in Kentucky. This was a group of us that went down to serve with them there. They put their student loans on hold, they packed up their apartment, and they moved all the way down to the hills of Appalachia. I couldn't believe that two young 20-somethings would choose to do this, but their reasoning was this. They knew at some future point they'd have a mortgage and they'd have a car payment. And once you've reached that like minivan stage of life, right, it's so much harder to pick up roots and move off to someplace new. You never know where God might call you next. Right? There's our own Morgan Kennedy down in Costa Rica, as she responded to the flooding that happened there with the tropical storms that passed through. I don't see her here this morning, but I'll bet that she would tell you there's still a piece of her heart that stayed in Costa Rica. Or I think of a clergy from our own conference who was serving here in High Spire, Willie Caraballo. When the hurricanes hit Puerto Rico, he said he went down to help the people there in his father's village. Willie described the trip from Florida to Puerto Rico at that point. He said he got on an almost empty plane in Florida and flew to the island of Puerto Rico. But then when he got off, he was in a packed airport with all kinds of people trying to cram onto the planes leaving the island. Where is God calling your heart to? It takes a little bit more organization and effort to make your way to these parts of the world. But one thing we're blessed with as a United Methodist congregation is our connection to so many other churches around the world. Did you know that as United Methodists, we sponsor over 300 missionaries across the globe? You probably can't see this map very well from up front, but you can find it online. It'll show you exactly how many missionaries we have serving in every country around the planet. We have pastors, teachers, doctors, nurses, social workers, church planters, and a variety of others serving on our behalf, supported through our ministry shares all over the globe. So the question that I asked is, where do you feel God pulling at your heart? When you can answer that question, you start to see how these two things, missions and evangelism, aren't really so separate after all. Somewhere we got the idea that we should have a committee for one and a committee for the other. One for mission, one for evangelism. But really, I think God is calling us to an integrated witness to the world. So how do we take that next step from missions to evangelism? I think that's the hard part for us in the modern world, isn't it? How do we go on to share our faith? The World Council of Churches put out a great statement, and one line in it says that our sharing is to take place with both confidence and humility as an expression of our professed love for the world. So how do we share our faith with confidence and humility? I want to show you another clip from that same video now. Take a look at what evangelism can also look like.
If we were to look at it through the evangelical lens, what do you think the answer would be?
Evangelism starts with relationships.
There you go.
Building trust and really caring about others.
I do not know what is so difficult to understand. I mean, I've invited lots of people to church. You just tell them about Jesus, what you think about God, and boom, home run, like that. What, did I say something that's funny to you?
Yeah, ha ha.
Ha ha? You mean ha ha?
I'm sorry, it's just not that easy.
I'm pretty sure it is, ha ha.
Okay, all right, I'm sorry, okay.
To you,
Mr.
Ha-ha.
Riley, Hannah, hop up here. Come up here real quick for me. I want you to imagine that you've never met.
Fine, I can do that. It's fine.
All right, now, Mr. Riley, I want you to share your faith with Hannah.
Hold it, what? Share my faith?
Yeah.
Share, just like that? Like I don't know her and I'm saying that?
Yeah, no, just talk about what's important. Right?
Just like, but I don't know her and I'm saying that?
Sure.
Okay. Would you like to come to our church? We have a very nice sanctuary. Have you ever seen our stained glass windows? Also, bring your wallet, because we could sure use the cash.
Okay, at least wait till they come to church before
you need the cash. It's in the books, which goes back to my... This whole authentic thing makes me uncomfortable. I think it's weird. I just want to go to church and not be bothered. Okay, fine. Maybe I need to rethink that. I don't know. You know, I know I don't... On second thought, what is there to rethink? I know what makes me comfortable. I know what makes me uncomfortable.
How about that clip? Can you identify with that a little bit too? I know what makes me comfortable, and I know what makes me uncomfortable. Reverend Judy Paulson is a professor of evangelism at a seminary in Toronto, and she says that too many Christians have the misconception that evangelism means accosting strangers, interrupting their day, and giving them something they do not want. What if evangelism doesn't have to look quite like that? What if it's not something we do because we have to do it, but something that flows naturally out of our life of faith because we want to do it, to share the good news? I mean, think about how that happens in other quadrants in life. You know that person at the office who just started a new diet at the new year, you know, and she's lost a few pounds on the gluten-free all-kale smoothie diet? You know that, right? Because she's so excited that she's shared all the details of the gluten-free all-kale smoothies with you, right? So that you could make your own. Or think about the grandparents in our congregation who get a new smartphone. Look out, right? Because they realize that every photo of their grandchildren and every video clip of every recital and t-ball game and sporting event can be right there in their hands. That can take you a couple hours to get out of that conversation, right? Or find somebody who's driving a new car and ask them about it. I bet you get a rundown, right? Of all the new features, how cool it is that they can start it and heat the seats up and connect to their cell phone before they even get out of the driveway. What if evangelism became something that flowed naturally out of our faith? Let me ask you that same question again. Where do you see a need in our world? And how has God uniquely gifted and equipped you to do something about it? How can we bring missions and evangelism back together into an integrated practice of the faith. What is in your spiritual life that you're excited about? What's happening here at our church that you're excited about? And how can you invite others to be a part of things here? And ultimately, how is God working in your life right now? How is God calling you to serve others and to share his love with others? How can we bring missions and evangelism back together into an integrated whole? Thanks be to God, who calls us to share the news and to be sent to a hurting world. Amen. And we'll sing next from the hymnal on page 428.